God is doing something incredible and we're going to head this way. And then all of a sudden, it seems like maybe a negative circumstance would happen that changes the trajectory of where we're going. And we don't really understand it until afterwards we're able to look and to say, God, I'm actually still in the palm of your hand, even through this tragedy. How many of you know what I'm talking about? That there would be something that takes place that you would go, I don't understand. Why did this thing happen? And then maybe a month or 6 months later, or maybe a full year, or maybe it's taken some time to really see what happens. And you say, God, it's incredible. I would have thought that I had stepped out of your will. And the reality is that you were with me all through this process. That's something that we saw through Paul and Silas. They wanted to go into Asia to speak the word of God, and they were redirected. And through that redirection, they were able to see somebody come to the Lord that they may not have been able to otherwise. The other thing that we saw was that we needed to just keep on moving through our relationship with the Lord. That when something takes place, that we want to make sure that we don't stall out. That we want to keep putting one foot in front of the other. And spiritually speaking, that we can say, God, I want to see the reality of what it means to follow you. I need to be an active and moving member of the body of Christ. And if any of these you want to reflect back on and kind of get caught up in the series, they're also available for you on our website. And then finally, last week, we talked about having a genuine relationship with the Lord. And I feel that we are at a place as Christians where what I laid out for you last week, and I really appreciate the positive feedback that we received from this, but one of the things that we said is that it's time for Christians to be acting like Christians. That even though we are in a place where maybe some difficult things are happening, the reality is that the template is always there. As a follower of Christ, there are many things that I already know that I need to do. And if I identify myself as a follower of Christ, then there are some things that I don't even have to think about. I don't have to concern myself with, because I have a template that I'm working with. Many years ago, Alexa and I, when we bought our fixer-upper that we're still fixer-re-uppering 16 years later, by the time you finish one, the last one, it's time to go back to the first one you did, right? Everybody knows that kind of thing. So that's what we've been doing. And there's been a couple of times where Alexa and I, neither one of us really have any carpenter skills. I found out over a certain amount of time that Alexa is geared a little bit more towards this thing than I am, because she would suggest something. I go, oh, that would never work. And I would try it, and it worked really, really well. And one of the things was making a template. We were replacing our floor one time, and she had this idea that we would just go and buy this huge piece of linoleum, and then we would get pieces of cardboard and paper. I mean, it was just, and we would stick it on the floor and tape them all together and cut them out, and it looked exactly, it's a small bathroom, so we could do that. And then when she was telling it to me, I was like, I remember saying, I don't know, that seems, what you got to do is just lay the linoleum down and just cut it where it's bent. That's exactly what I said. She was like, let's not do it that way, Phil. Let's not do it that way. And so she laid down all these pieces of paper, and it was cardboard and construction. It was all kinds of different things. And she laid it down and she cut it all out, duct taped it together. We took that, and you all know where I'm going with this. I was completely floored and surprised. But we laid it down on our giant piece of linoleum, and we cut exactly around that template. And while we did that, I can remember so many times in my life where I knew when I was supposed to be following Christ, but I decided to go outside of the lines. How many of you understand what I'm saying? I decided on my own, I'm going to go outside of the lines. I'm going to change this up a little bit. That probably isn't the best way. Jesus hasn't been here for 2,000 years. Things have changed. I know a little bit better about the culture. Am I the only one that's ever had that fleeting thought, right? And so there's a template that's there for us to follow. And once you have the template, once you've taken the time, because that's a process. It's a process to put that together. It's not something that just happens. You intentionally get down and you make this thing work. Once you have that template, do you know how quickly that floor went down? I mean, we cut it all out. We laid it in there. It fit. And I was like, wow, you're a genius. Now, anybody else we're talking to, they're like, duh. But for me, it was a revelation. And how many of you know that that can happen to a, there can be a spiritual revelation that happens in our lives, and to us, we can go, what? And somebody else, we go, I discovered that 8 years ago, right? We're at different places in our relationship with the Lord. But we realize that there's a couple of places, maybe where I had the X-Acto knife. Because we can't blame Alexa because she had the idea. But, you know, we go along and maybe there was a couple of times where it was maybe the blade was getting a little dull and kind of went like that. You know, you have to go and you have to trim it down and make it work. But initially when you lay it down, it's like, wow, there's just a few alterations that need to be made. And when we follow Christ, he has given us a template. I wonder if you have your template with you this morning, whatever form it might be in. Maybe you're a YouVersion app person. Maybe you've got it on your phone or your tablet. Maybe you're old school and you like the smell of paper. And you just can't imagine learning anything from electronic device. But there's a template. And this morning as we close this series, I want you to know that today, that God is asking us something very specifically as a body of Christ. And that is to go to the template that he has given us. And sometimes when we have a revelation that comes, there might be some tweaking in our lives. How many of you may understand this, is that my life does not always line up with the Word of God. And so then I need to pull out the proverbial X-Acto knife and make that correction in me. Not so that the Word fits into my life. Come on, now we're preaching. Not so that the Word fits into my life, but so that my life fits into the Word. If the linoleum didn't fit into the bathroom, we don't go, well, it looks like we got to knock that wall down. But we do that with the Word of God sometimes. And so we say, well, that doesn't exactly fit into the program that I have, so the Word of God must be wrong and I must be right. And see, that's what that is. That's laying that piece of linoleum down and going, the wall's got to go. When we try to make the Word fit into our lives instead of the other way around. How many of you are with me this morning? We have a template. We have the reality of what it takes. This is it right here. God decided to make it so easy, he put it into black and white. Here it is, on paper. And the stuff that he said was really important, he went ahead and some Bibles made them red. Just so that we would know we could pay attention even that much closer. So this morning as we open this up, I really felt like the Lord was saying that as we tie this together and see that there needs to be a chain reaction taking place in our lives, that today God is going to do something in your life in such a way that you are going to be opened up to a brand new revelation in your life. Maybe you would look at this and you would say, I've heard some of this before. Well, I certainly hope so. I would pray that we would get to a place where you would hear anything out of the Word of God and you would recognize it. But now what I want you to do is that I want you to put it on and say, God, today what I need to do is I need to allow myself to be that thing that is flexible and allow something to change within me. Today's subtitle is When I Spend Time with Jesus. Today's subtitle, When I Spend Time with Jesus. And I don't think I've ever done this before, but those of you who have your electronic devices with you, I even came up with a hashtag. There's a group of ladies that are in our church that have been meeting periodically throughout the month. And one of the challenges that they laid out to each other, which I was so blessed as the pastor to hear about, is they've actually been challenging each other to get up and spend time with the Word of God, where they would even call each other. They have like this little, are you up? Are you doing the thing that you said you would do? And while they were doing that, I thought, man, wouldn't that be cool? Because some of them are posting it. If you're into social media, you're with me. If you're not into social media, I'm not asking you to join social media so you can be a part of this. I'm not promoting social media. I'm just saying this is what happens. So they get up, and every once in a while, I'll see like the verse that they're doing. And I thought, wouldn't that be cool if what you ladies could do is you could hashtag it and call it Jesus time. Hashtag Jesus time. And the reason for that is because then, if you have any idea how social media works, is all you have to do is click on that hashtag, and all those references and all those verses immediately come up in one filtered search. And you can say, oh, today this person did that, or that's the verse they looked at, or here's what we're talking about, and we go into it. And today's message is called, When I Spend Time with Jesus, or if you're into the social media thing, hashtag Jesus time. One of the things that I was looking at was in the Gospel of Luke. And I wonder if you could turn with me to Luke chapter 13. And while we were doing that, while you're doing that, I want to give you a little bit of a background. Maybe you know this or maybe you don't. But Jesus likes to tell spiritual truths in something that we refer to as parables. And this is exactly what Jesus is doing here. We're going to look at one of his parables together. And as we look at this, I want you to see that what he's trying to do is make a very specific point. But he doesn't always explain the parable. But I want you to see if you can come to a similar conclusion that I did about this. In Luke chapter 13, starting in verse 6. Jesus is getting ready to tell a story here, and he says, and he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. And he said to the vine dresser, look, for 3 years now I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I find none. Cut it down. Why should it use up the ground? And he, being the vine dresser, he answered him, sir, let it alone this year. Also, until I dig around and put some manure on it. If it should bear fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down. I wonder if you could say with me again, when I spend time with Jesus. Can you say that phrase with me? When I spend time with Jesus. When I was looking at this, I'm taking some time and reading through the Gospels in preparation for Christmas. And it's something that I do quite regularly is I'll when we're coming up to the Christmas season and I'm just asking the Lord to give some fresh insight for me, I'll go ahead and read the Gospels. And I came across this in the book of Luke. And when Jesus was giving this story, I realized that what's happening here is there is some time that's being allowed for this person, so to speak, this vine, so to speak, to fall into a particular template. Because we know that if you have a fruit tree, the idea is it would bear fruit. Now, I grew up, it's hard to say where I grew. I grew up on the East Coast. I mean, we moved all over the place. But I spent some formative years in upstate New York in Syracuse. And my dad was quite the green thumb. And he loved planting things. He loved having beautiful shrubbery, things like that. And one of the things that he did one time is he bought a cherry tree. But the cherry tree was called a fruitless cherry tree. So we didn't have those little things falling on the ground, right? It would still blossom and everything else would be fine. But it didn't have any fruit on it. And it was called a fruitless cherry tree. That's what it was called. One year, something very, very weird happened after having this tree for a long time. It had fruit. We're like, wait a second. That's not supposed to happen. It didn't happen last year. It didn't happen the year before. It didn't happen the year before that. And the reason I know that is because it was my job to mow the grass. And all of a sudden, I come up to this fruitless cherry tree. There's cherries hanging off of it, and they're all on the ground, and the little pits are everywhere, and they're hitting in the lawnmower. And when the community we lived in, people didn't like it when stuff was kind of out of order. They would call and make sure that you weren't gone if your grass was like so much. Is everything okay? Your grass is 4 inches tall. True story. So I'm there, I'm cutting the grass, and all of a sudden we come to the cherries, and phew, all these things start flying all over the place. And that was a shock. Would you agree? It's not supposed to do that. It never had before. And I don't know. I haven't been there in a long time. Maybe it never has. Actually, we drove by. I think the trees are all gone. So maybe they did. And they just like, these aren't fruit. Let's, and they got rid of them. But when something is happening that should not, that's out of the order. And what happens here is that we see something that is completely out of order. The owner comes and he says, this is not performing the way that it should. And then he's talking to the person who is like the manager of the field. And the manager of the field steps in place and he says, well, let me take close care of this particular plant and let's see what happens next year. The illustration here is that the owner of the land represents the law. Not happening the way that it should happen, that's not going to, it's not taking place, it needs to be cut off. The one who is the manager of the property is the grace of Jesus Christ, who says, yes, right now at this particular point, there is not anything taking place, but give me some time with this plant. Do you see that? Comes along and says, there's nothing happening here. The law says this is supposed to be bearing fruit. It's not bearing any fruit. The manager of the property, who is the one who is watching over the specific crop, comes along and says, now wait a second. I understand that it should be, there should be some fruit on this, but there's not. But how about this? I will give some special attention. And then we will see what happens after this person, here we go, we're making the spiritual turn here, has had some Jesus time. Let's see what happens. And let's see what his method was here. We're going to look at the scriptures, and then I'm going to give you some keys that I pulled from this. In the scripture, this is the vine dresser's ingredient, so to speak, his method that he's going to use. In verse 8, he answered him and he says, sir, let it alone this year also until I dig around it and put on manure. The King James reads this way, and he answered unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also till I shall dig about it and dung it. Just in case you weren't sure what manure was. I'm going to dung it. How many of you have ever been dunged it, right, in your spiritual life? Where the solution is, here's what happens, is he's going to dress the vine. In other words, there's going to be some things. Okay, this part of the vine is some of the problem. And maybe it's not getting water properly. And now it needs some fertilizer. And the answer to the fertilizer then and now is we're going to put some poo-poo on it. That sounds like fun. In order for us to be brought in line sometimes in our walk with the Lord, we've got to go through some stuff. You all took a deep breath right there. Don't do that. We got to go through some things. We have to go through some stuff. And what happens is now at this point in the relationship is Jesus, if we want to stay on track with what's going on, is that Jesus is going to actually allow some things to come into our life that will not be there to take us further from Jesus, but to maybe let us realize how much we need him. I actually need to pull on him now. Now, I could share some testimony from my own life that many of you are already aware of. There have been times in my life where I have learned something that I would not have learned were it not for a tragedy. Say amen if you know what I'm talking about. I had to go through some stuff in order to get closer to God. I had to experience something. So you say, well, God, you mean God's going to bring some tragedy into my life? He's going to dung it. He's going to put some things around it. It's going to be a healthy thing. It's going to be a controlled situation. But there may be some things in your life where you're saying, oh, I can't believe this has happened. This must be the blessing of God being lifted from my life. And instead what it is it's God all over your life. That was good. See, again, what you guys got to do is you got to listen to this. And when you're in your car, when you get to that point, you erupt in clapping in your car. And I'll cue the applause, you know, right across. Maybe we should get that going on up here. But anyway. But sometimes what happens is the things that are in our life, they're not there to say, see, God doesn't love you. But guess who does that? Guess whose job that is? That when you're going through something, the message becomes, see how much God hates you? See how much God doesn't love you? See what God has left and brought into your life? That's the job of the enemy. That's what he does, is he takes that opportunity and he says, look at all this dung. God must hate you. God has left you. God has surrounded you by this stuff. Or even worse, look what God has done to you. I don't know if you've ever heard that lie come into your life. And when we look at this, we say, the vine dresser says this, he says, let this plant have some specific time with me. Is there something in your life? Before we go into this, that you can just begin to categorize everything that I say from this point forward and apply it to that thing where you might be saying, you know what, I need to bring this part of my life. I need to have some Jesus time in this area in my life. I need to have God do something. There's four things that I want to talk with you this morning about. And they're going to be taking some time from Scripture and looking what it means to spend time in the Word of God so that we can find encouragement. If you have your Bibles with you in any form that you have, again, we're going to open up to the book of Psalm. We're going to look at Psalm chapter 143. Psalm 143, and we're going to begin solely in verse 8. And I want you to see something that is maybe an opportunity for you to say, it's time for me to have some Jesus time. I need to not only hashtag this thing in media or put a like next to it, and boy, isn't that cool. I actually need to apply it. I don't know for you if some of the things that people are posting and saying and they're asking for prayer. You know, I always wonder, you know, wow, you know, like 78 people have responded to this particular post. Does that mean that 78 people are praying for that person in that situation right now? Wouldn't that be incredible? But I know that sometimes it's just like, ooh, I feel for you. There. Is that better? Right? Oh, let's change it to a heart. Oh, now they know I mean it. Right? Or is something really happening? I wonder now, you know, if Jesus were speaking these messages today in our culture. I think about that stuff. What would his social media page look like? And what would be, oh, Jesus, that got me right. Oh, we'll change that to me bawling my eyes out because that really hit home. You know? Or would we really say, God, I'm going to take this and mull it over? Look at what happens here in Psalm chapter 143 in verse 8. Let me hear in the morning of your steadfast love, for in you I trust. Make me know the way I should go, for to you I lift up my soul. I want to read it to you one more time. Let me hear in the morning of your steadfast love, for in you I trust. Make me. Can you say that with me? Make me know the way I should go, for to you I lift up my soul. Last week, one of the things I was sharing with you is that in order to take some initial steps in your spiritual life, is literally what we have to be willing to do is act like a Christian. You say, well, that's so surface. What you're doing is you're asking us to put on a mask. No, I'm not. What I'm really asking you to do is to say, God, make me. Make me. Because I don't know about you, but sometimes in our children's lives, in order to let them see something that's for their best, we have to encourage them with a little bit of extra oomph, which might be translated, make them do something. And if we don't make them do it, it won't happen. In my life, I know that God is not going to possess me and overtake my life, and I'll be doing that. I don't understand. I don't know what I'm doing. That must be God doing something. All, you know. That's not what we're talking about. We're saying, God, what I'm doing is I'm saying, I'm in this place. I'm willing, but my flesh is strong. No, my flesh is weak. So now, God, I'm coming to you, and the psalmist is saying here, let me hear it in, and where we're going to park for a minute is in the morning. I want to talk to you for the next few minutes about carving out some time in your day. What can have a chain reaction in your life is Jesus time in your life. And in our busy culture, in our busy world, if somebody says, well, the time that, this could sound maybe ridiculous to some of you, you say, well, the time that I can spend time with God is at 2:30 in the afternoon. And I go, more power to you, man. I don't even remember 2:30 in the afternoon. What happened? What was going on? Or, the best time that I have to spend time with God is when I put the kids to bed. I used to think that. And I found myself having a wonderful 8 hours with Jesus. Right? It's like we start and we're like, oh, help me. Gone. Right? At the end of the day, that's no good. I'm talking about me personally. There were different things that I would try to do because there was a period in my life where I was not a morning person. I don't know what happened. I became a morning person. But I was not always a morning person. But my alarm goes off, and within a few moments, I'm up and ready to go. I don't know. Maybe God just knew he was going to have to make me that way because I apparently wasn't doing it any other time. So I can't explain it when it happened. It probably happened around the time that we had our first baby, and I felt I wanted to make sure that Alexa was able to get some rest and all that kind of stuff. And so if I heard anything in the night, there I go. I'm up. But something happens in Scripture when we look at the Word of God through this idea of having some morning time with Him. And something that all that it takes is just letting that day happen at first just a few minutes earlier. It's not a religious thing. Honestly, if you're good at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and you've got some time that you've carved out, I'm not saying, well, you can't get together with the Lord at 3. I'm challenging you to do it at 4 in the morning. Now, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that if you are having a difficult time and you're saying, I never get that hashtag Jesus time. I never get that relationship with the Lord. I don't feel like I'm making it because my day is so busy. You are absolutely right. So something that may be required in your life is to make a slight adjustment. What we see here in Psalm 143, verse 8, is let me hear in the morning of your steadfast love. And I thought, well, maybe this is an anomaly. Actually, I didn't think that. I knew many psalms were written that way. But in my mind, I'm like, okay, how many times does in the morning appear in the book of Psalms? A bunch. Can I say that to you? A bunch. We use, those of you who might use the YouVersion app, all you got to do is type in the book of Psalms, and then you go and you do a second search, and you say morning, and you will see verse upon verse upon verse upon verse upon verse upon verse upon verse of getting up and spending time and starting your day with Jesus Christ. Here's some key things that we see. In the morning, the psalmist finds the steadfast love. In the morning, he starts his day off with trust. In the morning, he finds out the way that he should go. And in the morning, I lift up my soul to you. Can you see that he started off his day pretty good? How many of you would like to know that you are starting off your day hearing the voice of the Lord, seeing the steadfast love, trusting in Jesus Christ, finding out the way that I should go, and lifting you up in my soul? There's four things that I want to look at with you this morning. I'm going to go through them real quickly, and then we're going to hit some of them a little bit more specifically. Something I want you to realize that in this verse, the very first thing is that God hears us. We serve a true and living God. God hears us. And you need to be able to work that into your heart and to recognize that God hears us. The second thing that I want you to see this morning is that joy comes to us. Joy can be found in any circumstance, in any situation that you are in. But something that is important is that you take some action against the things that are negative in your life, and you beat them to that negative input. And you say, no, I'm going to turn this thing over to the Lord. I'm going to spend time with Jesus, and I'm going to find my joy. The third thing this morning I want you to see is that God helps us. God helps us. So I'm seeing right now that he's hearing me, that joy can come to me. He's going to help me. And then finally, the last thing that I looked at and I saw that what was taking place in some of these scriptures we're going to be looking at is that God renews us. God renews us. God doesn't want us to stay exactly the way that we are today. He wants to come into our lives, transform us into what it means to be a follower of Christ, and do some amazing things through that revelation. So let's go back together. Let's look at a few of these. The first thing that we looked at is God hears us. And in Psalm chapter 5, verse 3, one of my favorite ones. This is actually, I can't remember the artist, but when I was in 7th and 8th grade, there was an artist that actually sang a contemporary Christian song from this. It says, "O Lord, in the morning, you hear my voice. In the morning, I prepare a sacrifice for you and watch. In the morning, you hear my voice." God hears us. Starting off a time where we can say, God, today I am giving myself to you. I'm giving my life to you today. I want to start this day off and hear some amazing things from you. Oh Lord, in the morning, you hear my voice. In the morning, I prepare a sacrifice. And then what it says here is a sacrifice for you and watch. So not only am I making myself available, now what I do is I say, God, I've done this thing. I've set myself apart. I've given this to you. Now what I'm going to do is, what is God going to do with this? Because what I've done now is I've made myself available. So I say, God, I'm listening to you. I'm hearing your voice. And now what I do is I do that and I get ready, because God wants to speak to me. God heard me. God heard me. And now what I want to do is I want to be proactive about it and say, okay, now that I know that you've heard me, I'm going to watch and see what takes place. I'm going to be anticipating that God is actually going to do something. God hears us. I prepare a sacrifice for you and I watch. Whenever I hear about that particular thing, preparing a sacrifice, I always think in the Old Testament, when the prophet took all the jars of water and poured jar upon jar upon jar upon jar of water, which would be the wrong way to prepare a burnt offering. Would you agree? That is not it. That's not how it's done. We want to find something dry. We want to make sure that the flame is good and hot. We get the sacrifice on there. It takes over from there. But we're getting jar after jar after jar of water. Sometimes I feel like in my own life what I'm doing is I'm preparing a sacrifice, but I'm not going about it all right. God, I'm just here. I don't know how you can use this mess right now, but God, I know that all I have to do is stand and watch. Because I've made myself available. Does that make sense? I just have to watch now. I'm going to look and see what the Lord is going to do in my life. Something else that we pulled from this is that joy comes to us. And this is something that I pulled a little bit from last week, because I feel that sometimes what takes place in our lives is that the joy is just not there in a Christian life, because we may have this big spiritual target on our back and we're not always thinking, okay, what is it that I can do now to find joy in this situation? Sometimes situations that we're in are not all that fun. They're really bad. They're hard. And I'm not saying to get kind of arrogant and laugh at a situation. Oh, you think you're going to hurt me? That's what Pastor Phil said. We're going to laugh at you. No. What I'm going to do is I'm going to find the joy of the Lord in any circumstance. Do you see the difference? Where I can find the joy. There's got to be something here. There's got to be a place. There's God. They're just. I just want to find your peace again. I need to find your strength. I need to find your joy. I need to have this because your word promises that joy comes to us. Look at what it says in Psalm chapter 30. Psalm chapter 30 and verse 5. Watch what happens. For his anger is but for a moment, and his favor is for a lifetime. Oh, could we just stay there for a while? Can we just see that? That it is true that sometimes there's some things in my life that don't line up with the Word of God. And I can actually grieve the Spirit of God. I can actually make Him look and say, oh, Philip, that is not the best. That is not what I wanted from you. That is not where I wanted you to go. And there might be some time of having to deal with that in my life. But God's anger, it lasts just for a moment. But His favor lasts for a lifetime. Oh, Jesus, help us to see that today, that favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes in the morning. I have to tell you that as I was looking through these, As a worship leader, I know that there are many songs that come from Scripture. But I was amazed as we go through this particular section of looking at what it means to be seeking after God. There is Christian song after Christian song after Christian song. And if you want to work this into your life, plug some of this stuff in. Put it into your whatever thing that you have, and whatever device you use, whatever music source you use, and click on that Christian praise music and say, God, I need to work this into my life. Because I can tell you right now, there are many of these, if not all of them, that were already songs. This is how God spoke through and to the psalmist. It was either through poetry or a song, some kind of lyric would come about, and it would happen, and we took it, and we said, man, I'm trading my sorrows. I'm trading my sickness for the joy of the Lord. Late 90s and early 2000s, we used to sing that all the time. I'm trading my sorrows. I'm trading my sickness. I'm trading them now for the joy of the Lord. And then we did it like this. We said, we say, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Amen. Ooh. Come on, that'll preach. You hear all those yeses? It's like, I'm doing this thing, and now I'm going to go, yep, 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 yep. Is it working yet? No. Yep, 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 yep. We're just going to make it happen, right? We're going to get our place, and we're going to get to that place to where we can say, I'm trading this for that intentionally. Why? Because joy can come to us in any situation. Any circumstance. There's been times where I haven't been able to find the joy as I'm flying over my handlebars of my motorcycle. I'm trying really hard. Where is the joy in this? I was really happy about 8 seconds ago. Man, easy rider, baby. And next thing I know, I'm flying. Where is the joy in that? Where was the joy in the recovery? I'll tell you where the joy was in the recovery. I was able to recover. That was the joy, right? Everything's not a milkshake right now. I'm able to eat solid foods. I'm able to go on vacations with my family. There's joy in that process. Where is the joy in following Jesus Christ? Sometimes we just have to say, yes, 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 Lord. Amen. Joy comes when? The morning. What a great thing to experience. The third thing that we see is that God helps us. Psalm chapter 46 is where I decided to go with this one. When I saw this, I said, man, this is exactly where I want to be. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation. Psalm 46, verses 4 through 7. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. Listen to verse 5. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when? The morning dawns. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage. The kingdoms totter. He utters his voice. The earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Amen. When can we come to a place to say that, God, I come to you because I know that in myself I cannot survive this situation. I cannot make it. God, I need you. God is in the midst of her. God is in me. God is around me. I will not be moved. God will help me when the morning dawns, when it's a new day, when there's a fresh thing that's going on in my life. God will speak to me and move in my life. This morning, can you see the importance of being able to say, God, I surrender this to you, and I literally choose today to make myself do this. I'm going to make myself have some Jesus time. Also, in Psalm chapter 59, in verse 16, Psalm 59 and 16. I will sing of your strength. I will sing aloud of your steadfast love in the morning. For you have been to me a fortress and a refuge in the day of my distress. When I was in Tanzania, not this past time, the time before, I was there, it was the first time I was there by myself. It was my second time going. Dan went with me the first time, second time I went solo. And the house that I'm staying in is disconnected from the main house. It's their guest house that they have. And my first night there, I hadn't adjusted to the time change yet. And we're talking 7 hours difference. And so like 2 a.m, blink, I'm wide awake. And I'd only had like 4 hours of sleep. And I knew I was going to be in trouble. So I pray and I just, Lord, I really need some sleep. And 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock comes around. All of a sudden, the dawn starts to break. I'm like, guess this is not happening. So I decided to wake up and I put on my headphones. And I thought, well, I need to get some energy here, and the best way that I know how to do it is right now I'm going to worship. So I put on my headphones. What I had done is I had gotten some headphones for the airplane that are noise canceling, so you can't hear the noise of the plane or the babies crying on the plane. It's very great. Wonderful. So I put on these things, and it's like an airlock. So I've got my noise canceling headphones on, listening to some worship music. And the one that I was listening to this particular morning was No Longer Slaves, right? So I'm listening to, I'm no longer a slave to sin, right? What was it? I said the wrong words. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God, right? But I've got noise-canceling headphones on. I'm no longer, right? But I don't know that's what I'm doing. I mean, I had an idea, but I didn't know. I found out at breakfast exactly what I was doing. And I go down to breakfast. I'm all energized. I'm all excited. You know, I had started my day with prayer for about 3 hours. You know, I'm trying to fall asleep, and it didn't happen. I show up to breakfast, and here's the first thing that I hear, because she, you have to know that these two people have the gift of hospitality. They love Jesus with all their heart, but they speak their mind. And so they don't have the filter that maybe you and I would have. And she's like, "Did you hear? The mosque was calling people to prayer at the weirdest hour." Because right down the road is, it's the prayer, it's the mosque prayer. And she thought I was that. And I said, "You mean like around 5? She said, "Yeah, it normally doesn't happen till 7. Oh, is that what I sound like, right? You know, and how many of you know that's like the best thing, you know, I guess American Idol is off the list, right? It's like, singing at the top of my lungs at 5 a.m. with no coffee or anything. Apparently that's what I sound like. But I was thinking in my mind, I'm going to sing out. I'm going to start this day. I'm going to get going with it because God, today I need your strength. I've got none. And today I need your strength." And that is something that we need to be willing to say, is that there are certain times where we're completely aware of it. And we say, "Today, I'm going to give myself over to this thing. I'm going to allow this to happen." But it's not just something that we do when we need it. It's something that we do all the time so we can begin to cultivate the presence of God in our lives. Can I get an amen? The last one we're going to go through quickly. God renews us. God renews us. Lamentations chapter 3. We're going to jump over into this poetic book also in Lamentations 3, verses 22 and 24. I believe we're going to have it on the screen. Lamentations 3, 22 through 24. "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him." This morning, I want you to know that God desires to renew your life. Renew your life. There was a verse that Ann shared with me. That was her name, Ann Street. She shared a verse with me out of her loving kindness after that morning. She turned me to Proverbs chapter 27 that morning. This is a true story. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 14. "Whoever blesses his neighbor with a loud voice rising early in the morning will be counted as a cursing." Right, Nancy? Nancy knows Ann. Oh, thank you, Jesus. So let's be aware of what God is doing in our lives and realize that maybe it's not for everyone, but we want God to be moving in us and through us. God will renew you today. God will speak life to you today. God will bring you to a place of relationship with Him. I want you to stand with me this morning. That you would see that this morning, as we can say, "This is something, this is a place where I want to come to," that God can hear us. God brings joy to us. God will help us. And God will renew us. If we are willing to say, "Today, what I want to do is start my day off in such a way that I can say, I give it to you, Lord. I give it to you." Father, this morning, we just ask for the power of your Holy Spirit to move in us. Father, today, I ask that there would be release right now. As we could say, "I am literally going to make myself take some steps. I'm going going to make it happen. I am going to be able to conduct myself now where I can say maybe for a season in my life, I might even have to say, I'm going to act like a Christian. I'm going to do the things that a Christian does. I'm going to speak the way that a Christian speaks. I'm going to spend my time with the people that a Christian should be spending their time with. I'm going to act like a Christian. I'm going to be that. Because then what I want to do is I want to know, Father, that I've gotten to the place where now what I'm doing, it is my life. It is who I am, and it is how I function. Spending time with you. Spending time with Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Right now where you are this morning, I'm not going to ask for how many of you are going to do this? Because one thing that I don't want to have happen is I don't want to have there be any condemnation. You know, we're going to raise our hand and then tomorrow comes and goes. But I want you to do this for yourself. Am I in a place where I am really beginning my day and starting my time off right so that I can face the day the way that Jesus wants me to? And if that's not you, we're not talking about an hour-long Bible study. I'm not sitting here going, you got to get up at 3 in the morning, make it happen. I'm saying, can you open up and allow the Word of God to speak into your life? Start off in the book of Proverbs. Very simple. Lots of wisdom in the book of Proverbs. That's why it was called a wisdom book. There's wisdom in it. There's things that we can learn from. This morning, I just want you, if you could take that with you and just know that's exactly where I want to be. I want to be starting my day off just like that. Not in a religious tone, not in some kind of thing where if I don't do it, God's going to condemn me or whatever. I just want to take this moment and have that happen. Take that challenge with you. Take that place with you and say, that's where I want to start. I just want to start somewhere. And then if you get a really amazing revelation, do something for us. If you're on social media, hashtag it. Say, man, God showed this to me. Hashtag Jesus time. It'll be fun. We'll have a great time growing together, seeing what God is doing. Father, we seal this time. We're so grateful for what you're doing. We ask that you would speak to us in every single moment that we have with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. God be with you. We thank you so much for everything that's going on. Remember, we've got live nativity stuff happening, home groups, ISOM, all those things are out there for you. And we're looking forward to seeing you again next week. God bless.